You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. Now, God and Father, we have opened thy word. Spirit of God, help us to understand that we might understand to the point of being the beneficiaries of truth, that we might know you, the God of truth. Our Father, we're looking to you. Be pleased to honor yourself because of the person and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our God will thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In the first of the year, we spent time to look at the high places that God has given, gave Israel, gives the believer, a wonderful privilege of possessing the Most High God in a most privileged way. To be able to have hinds feet, little deer, to jump on the rocks all over the place without ever a mishap. Now, when we did that a little bit, now we need to come back and try to finish Revelation 4 and 5. So that's what we're going to try to do. So those who have a good memory, you have all of that, all of chapter 4, as it were, and 5. And those that don't, God help us to have a little bit of understanding. So, in the light of that wonderful setting in Revelation, chapter 4 and chapter 5, would you go and you hear Isaiah 55? In Isaiah 55, and remember we put a title down, I think, Heavenly Harmony. And in the process, harmony, to be in agreement, to put together the pieces into an orderly whole togetherness, to be in agreement, to have order, to be able to be pleasing, to have it in a pleasing, harmonious way, that everything comes together rightly. Everything fits together rightly. All the pieces in the puzzle are in the right place. All the instruments in music are using the same page. They're in tune, 440A. They're in tune. Now, with that in mind, Isaiah 55, picking up, please. In, you know, I'll read it, Isaiah 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. In the light of verse 7, forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Thus, because, 4, verse 8, my thoughts, said God, are not your thoughts. And neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. What's the difference? Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Higher than the heavens. Infinitely distant. Different. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So here's God's word, and God's thoughts are higher than the heavens, and infinitely higher. So, his heavenly harmony. Well, And here we are on earth. Remember over, if you would, in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. God's thoughts are higher than the heavens, and thus, here we are down here thinking, and here's God's. Now, harmonious, bringing all the parts together, so all the parts fit together, harmoniously. God's thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens, and what are we going to do? Psalm 139, picking up, please, right in the middle of Psalm 139, remember where David said there's nowhere to escape the presence of God. And thus, 139, verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts, there's your word, unto me. God, your thoughts are higher than the heavens. O God, how great is the sum of them when I think of the thoughts, God, your thinking which is higher than the heavens. If I should, verse 18, count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee, and I try to imagine and come to grips with it as a dream. It's impossible. They are as the sand of the sea. Remember, we had the jar of sand up here so you could have a sense of sand, a little bit of sand, you know. And then here's all the sand of the ocean, sands of the beaches, sands of the deserts. And God said, my thoughts to you are greater than the sand. My thoughts are higher than the heavens. Now, harmony. How are we going to bring that into harmony? God, your thoughts and my thoughts, distant, and your thoughts more numerous than your thoughts of us, more than the sand of the sea. Now, how are we going to bring this together, God? Over, if you would, in the light of that, remember, God's the Most High God, the Creator. He is going to bring us to enjoy His creation, and we are to understand and exercise a relationship to God that allows God to be who He is, that allows God to be who He is for us, to us, in us. To know God, who's infinitely, infinitely greater, who has no beginning and no end, His thoughts. To be able to be in harmony with You, God, the Creator, who made us for such a privileged position, to be able to know You. Now, in the light of that, in the light of the Most High God. And remember that over in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And we looked at all those, I trust, were wonderful truths to be able to enjoy being saved in a difficult day. Thus, Revelation chapter 5, and keeping in mind that our Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to know Him, to know God, whose thoughts and ways are higher than the heavens, whose thoughts of us are more than the sand of the sea, to know Him, to be able to harmonize with Him. Now, and thus He does that in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 5, remember the Lamb, I'll read verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Remember, to finish, God, you're going to finish. The big thing is, you've got all these pieces, you brought all of history from creation, Genesis 1, to this place, and you have to put all the pieces together. Why this and sin, sorrow, and suffering? God, how does it all, the Satan, evil, the God of this world system opposing you, how are you going to put it together? It has to be finished. And here, the Spirit of God showing John, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go and take in His perfect humanity and finish all of God's program that he started. And in verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of his four beasts, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So here's the lamb. Remember that we did that. We took time. Lamb. And there's a full-grown lamb. And this word, though, and it's used all the way through Revelation. That's how they speak of the Lord. He's the lamb. And this means a little lamb, a little baby lamb. And remember, we said God took down and brings it down into humbling. He humbled himself and is exalted. He humbled himself. He became a man. He became flesh and blood, and he went to the cross for us and died. A little lamb slain, and you read it here, a lamb as it had been slain, slaughtered. And you look at the lamb, the little lamb, and it shows death wounds. Death wounds as you look at the lamb. Wow, that's right. Humbled. Humbled. Exalted. 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 To the highest place there is. Before the Most High God. Exalted. Who's exalted? The little lamb that was slain is exalted now. Thus, there's a response. And as I'll read it just to catch up to where we were. And in verse 7, "And he came and took the book." He's the one, is the man. This man is the one qualified. He is the one that God is going to judge all of humanity and all of creation by, this man. And he takes the book, because he's qualified. He takes the book and came and took the book out of the right hand, the scroll, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, who has the right to finish this? Who is qualified to finish this? The Lamb, the little Lamb slain. He is the one to finish it. And remember in Acts 17:31 and that, God said, "Listen, by this man I will judge all of humanity." Which man? The man that rose again from the grave. That man. That man. All judgment is given to that man by the Father. All of it. Now, so here in verse 7, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So here they are, here's the Lamb of God, and here is the response, the response. And you'll notice, please, in verse 8, when he had taken the book, the last chapter, Revelation 6, 7, 19, all the way to the end, which is going to be unrolled, opened. When he had taken the book, the four beasts, living creatures, angels, cherubim, no doubt, and 24 elders, and we did all these things, remember, in chapter 4. The 24 elders, the church, the collective church body, the church. Because when you're reading in Revelation 4, the church is in heaven, no more here, no more on earth. It's there. That's where the church is. The body of Christ is there. So, the 24 elders, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They fell down before the Lamb. Every one of them having of them harps, if you would, harp. And harp, remember, there's a triangular harp. They had circular harps, 10 strings, 12 strings, and they had them. And the harp and the flute if you went to worship way back, always the harp and the flute. Harp and the flute. Now, so here's the harp, and the the harp. They, each one of them had a harp. Now the angels could have a harp, but it isn't them here, as you'll see. It could be them, but it isn't them. They have harps. And so they're playing. Now, in order to get that a little bit in the harps, would you go with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians 14. I'm coming right back here. 1 Corinthians 14. And take a note about the purpose of harps. 1 Corinthians 14. The harp, the lyre. And you'll notice, please, in verse 7, going directly in the light of the context, verse 7, 14 and 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, flute instrument, pipe, or harp, which is what you're looking at, except they give a distinct distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? The purpose of a harp is for sound, and it's to be able to communicate something by sound. Keeping that in mind, sound, to communicate something by sound, to make it known by sound. Over, if you would, back in Revelation chapter 5. And I'll do one other place so you can have that. Over in Revelation 14, you're right nearby. And you'll pick up the words again. All three, verb, noun, harpist, got them. One shot. Revelation 14, verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. I heard them, a sound, an awesome sound that is to be understood. It communicates. The sound is meant to communicate. Sound, the harpers. Now, verse chapter 5 of Revelation. Chapter 5. And by the way, so there's the word harp, and they're having a voice, the voice of the harpers. The voice often went, they would sing with the harp. And you'll notice, please, not only did they have the 24 elders have a harp, make sound, to be able to make music, as it were, heavenly music, and every one of them have with harps, verse 8, and golden vials or bowls, basins, the word vial, bowl, basin, a shallow basin that would be used. It could have a cover on it. They used them for censers, put liquid in, to put material, powders in, and mixtures of things in, a little basin, bowl. Each of them had a golden bowl, a vial. Now, keep in mind, that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, and you'll note these are golden, and I want you to keep in mind, if you would, verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my hand, and the seven golden lampstands or candlesticks. Are the seven stars are the angels, messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks or lampstands which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the each assembly of his, there's all kinds of churches, the groups, all the devil's done a job all over the world in church history. All kinds of churches. But there's only one. Either it's his or it's ours. And we have lots of our churches. But his church, which is his body, his church is gold, very, very valuable, precious, distinct, above all things, to win the gold medal in Olympics, gold, the top, gold. Anyhow, and you don't have to worry about buying it. I know they keep telling you to buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, dollar shrinking, buy gold. But then what are you going to do with the gold? Who wants the gold if you get it? You know, you can't go to the grocery store with it. Can't go anywhere, you know. What are you going to do with the gold? And besides, if you're a believer, you can't have this gold when you go. You understand that? You can't take your gold with you. You can't. You have a gold ring. It has to stay. Now, but here's gold, gold, gold. That's right. Precious, precious gold. And you'll notice, please, not only do we have gold, remember chapter 4 of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 5. And the elders are clothed in the end of verse 4. And I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns. That's why you know they're the church, Stephen, victorious crowns. Angels don't get victory. They are either in or out. And they are crowns of gold. So here's crowns of gold, and the elders representing the church. Elders, gold, gold, gold. The city is gold. The city is gold. Coming down, Revelation 21. The streets are gold. Everything's gold. Everything's glorious. Everything is of God, of the highest value. Now, the admonition, Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And in the light of that, Revelation 3, picking up, if I may, in verse 17, because thou sayest, remember the church, the end of the church age is marked by these characteristics. And I say, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, said the Lord Jesus to the churches, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold, gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I counsel thee to buy gold, gold. I counsel thee to use your time well, to invest in the highest and bestest there is, and that's your relationship to God. Invest in it. It's golden, golden, produces gold, gold. Now, having said that, over here at Revelation 5, so we have the harps, sound, communicating, sound, knowing, understanding, music, harmony, all the instruments in harmony, heaven's harmony with God, who sets the standard for 440A and the music, who sets it for God? God's person. God personally sets the standard. It isn't a 440A like the tuning fork. God is the standard for the harmony, for the sound, for the music. Where does the music come from? God. Just like you have sheet music here, you have God's word in front of you. God's word. We're all on the same page. We all read. We all rest in what he says. We're in harmony as we do that. So we're paying attention to God. We're in harmony with God. We're amening God in his word. That's what we're to do, to believe God. Don't argue with him. Believe him. And thus, here are these golden bowls, vials, and they're all full of odors. They're all full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So here are these bowls, the little bowls, and in the process they are full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So here are all these odors, the incenses they are, odors. And the word comes from the word to burn, incense, to exhale odor by burning is the definition. To exhale odor by burning. Burning produces smoke. smoke, burn, fumes go, heat, heat, heat waves, smoke, smoke. To exhale by fire, fumes, incense, odors. Thus, these golden vials are full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now keep in mind, that the prayers on the incense isn't the prayer. The bowls are the prayer. The incense is something else. The bowls are the prayer. Don't think the bowls are prayer. Don't think the incense is prayer in that sense. Don't do that, because the bowls are the prayer. The bowls are the prayers. Hang on. Which are the prayers of the saints. Now, keeping that in mind, remember now in the prayers. Now, keeping God, angels do not exercise prayer. They do not do that. So angels just don't pray. Like, they wouldn't use that verb, a noun. They wouldn't use it. And saints, the word saints, which is holy, set apart, consecrated. God is holy, that's right. Angels are holy. But angels are never called saints, you see. They aren't called saints. So we got prayers, and holy, the prayers of the saints. The set apart ones, saints, believers, consecrated. The prayers of the saints are full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So here are these bowls full of odors. What are they full of? They're full of odors. Now, perfume. Would you go with me, please, over to Luke chapter 1? Because we're trying to harmonize. His ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. His thoughts of us are more than can be numbered. And here we are in heaven, because that's the whole business now. We're looking at it from a heavenly position. What is going on in heaven? What is going to be going on in heaven? Luke chapter 1, and picking up, please, in verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were, remember, it's the high priest going into the holy place. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So here's the altar, and remember now going into the tabernacle, coming in from the east, and going through the gate, and there's the brazen altar where they sacrificed, and the laver where they washed the hands and everything, washed the parts. And then you come in, and then over here is the lampstand, menorah, over here. And over here, is the table of showbread. And here's the lampstand on the other side. And straight in front of you is the altar of incense. Altar of incense. It's there. Now, keep that in mind, because here he is, going in, and Zacharias. And he's the high priest, and he's going into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, now, with incense. Now, God, help us some more, all right? Go with me, please, over, if you would, to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And in Exodus chapter 30, picking up the thought, remember the altar of incense there. 1.5 feet square, 3 feet high, has a crown of gold, and then on each corner a horn coming up, gold. All of it pure gold. Now, verse 30, here's the requirement to make the altar of incense for Israel for the tabernacle. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense, to exhale fire, exhaling it, thus smoke, fumes, odors. To burn incense upon of shittim or acacia wood shall thou make it. Thus it is overlaid, verse 3, overlaid with pure gold, and over in verse 6, picking up if you would, and thou shalt put it before the veil blocking the Holy of Holies, the other side of the compartment of the tabernacle, where they only could go in once a year. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. So here's, they're going to put it, here it is in the ark, and then on the other side of the curtain is the mercy seat. Verse 7. Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense, sweet, fragrant, pleasing to God, every morning when he dresseth the lamps, fix the lamps on the lampstand, and he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, redoing the lamps, the wicks, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual, continual burning, a continual, perpetual incense before the Lord throughout all your generations. Always, 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 never, never, tabernacle, you never would go in there that you didn't smell the wonderful fragrance of the incense burning. Exodus 30, verse 34 and following, you have the formula, the special formula for making the incense. You couldn't make it any way you wanted. You can't do it anyway. Over in Exodus 30, verse 9, God's warning, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. Don't do anything except as it is in order, which is what Zechariah did, as in an order, as it's prescribed, exactly as God tells you. Now you remember, you may want to hold your finger there a moment, over to Leviticus, hold your finger here in 30, to Leviticus chapter 10. Remember the strange fire and the on the dedication of the tabernacle. And for Aaron's most holy special day, the specialest day of his life, he is inaugurated, he's made high priest before God with all of the gear and the clothing. It's his most honored time and day. What a day for Aaron. Now, and his two sons participating, Nadab and Abihu, chapter 10, verse 1, the sons of Aaron took either of them his censer, little bowl, and put fire therein, put fire in the bowl, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So in their own pride, in their own thinking, without even strange fire, unconsecrated fire, out of order, what did they do? Well, they went and did what they did. They said, what difference does it make? How you can't take just any fire from the brazen or the altar. Let's take some fire, and we'll set our little bowls on fire for the incense. Let's do it. But you know what happened, don't you? Because they thought that they could just innovations for worship any old way you please. Can't we just come to God any old way we please and do whatever we wish? No. God is a wonderful God. He's the standard. And thus, you remember what happened, verse 2, chapter 10, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord, and Moses never could say, boo. He never said, oh. It was a sacred thing, and God took the two sons and killed them. They were out of order. Back over in Exodus 30, verse 9, thou shalt have no strange fire. Now, remember in this fire and the high places, what did they do with incense? Incense was very, very popular. And all the high places, and we took time to read them. If you took time, all the high places, when they did high places, they had incense. And they had incense. And they burned incense. So the fragrance, the smoke, the odor of the burning incense would rise up. Now, why would you do that? What do all these different religions, all their different worships, their high places all over the place? Why do you do that? Well, remember, hold your finger here. We don't have time. Genesis chapter 8. And please note, Noah, remember Noah and the ark settled? They were going to leave the ark. Genesis 8, verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, first thing he did, stepping out of the ark, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Burnt offerings, burnt, exhaled, fumes, burning of the offerings. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Where did it start? Noah, fragrance, fire, odor. And thus everyone down the road, Noah and all the rest of us, are the product of Noah and his sons. Incense. Where? Who set the example for incense? God did. Noah did. Incense. Now, they all do it. High places. Got to have incense. But what good is it if it doesn't smell good to God? If it doesn't harmonize with God? If it doesn't please God? Sweet. Think of the burnt Leviticus 1. Sweet savor, sweet incense, the whole animal being burnt up, the Holocaust, whole animal being burnt up, is a fragrance to God, a sweet smell to God, the giving of his son. It was God's delight to give his son. Now, over if you would to Leviticus. Leviticus. And picking up, please, Leviticus and chapter 16. Leviticus and chapter 16. Here's the Day of Atonement. Remember Luke chapter 1, 9, 10. Here's the Day of Atonement. And the priest would go in once a year. And you'll notice, please, in verse 11, and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is verse 11, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer bowl full of burning coals of the fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands shall be full, double hand, two handfuls, the bowl, of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire when he goes through the curtain. They only go in once a year. Remember that curtain in the days of Israel? The curtain was so thick between the compartments. Here's the altar of incense, and here's the thick curtain. And that curtain was so thick, it is said, Jewish history, that teams of horses pulling a piece of it could not rip it apart, going in different directions. It was so strong, they couldn't rip the thing. God, in a moment of time when he died, ripped it from what? Top to bottom. Now, so, verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals, of fire from the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, double full, beaten small, and bring. And verse 13, he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is before the upon the testimony, that he die not. So what am I doing? Here I'm the Aaron, the high priest. I'm going to go in, and it's all dark. Remember, dark. The only light in the place is the lampstand out here. And here I am, I got the fire, and I'm going to take the fire, and I'm going to throw the incense into the fire. And here's this room, smaller than the first one, and here it is, smoke, the incense, filling the room. So I can't see the mercy seat, in the sense, I can't see it. The smoke fills the room. That's right. The smoke is ahead of you. It has provided for you the way to do it so that you don't die. The incense, the fragrance, to come before God so you don't die. Safely come before God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, come before God. The prayers which are the prayers of the bulls are the prayers, and in the prayer is the incense. And the incense, we come before God, it's a sweet fragrance to God. Now, in Aaron, and the incense in the tabernacle, here's the incense filling the Holy of Holies. That's right, filling it up. Now, God, we can't see. No. But you have access without dying. You are protected and provided for in this place. Why? Because the altar of incense, worship God. Who makes the worship of God possible? The Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except by me. No one. That's right. Now, what are we going to do, Aaron? What are you going to show us, God? What's it all about? You can't come to God, a holy, happy, righteous God, safely, apart from the wonderful person and work of Jesus Christ, the altar of incense, the fragrance which is a sweet fragrance to God, is the wonderful merit, wonderful glory, the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes it possible for us to come to God, to have an audience with God, have access to God, to be able to relate to God properly. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the mediator, the only one who can get us there. Aaron, you're there before God because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is a sweet fragrance to God. He is sweet, sweet. Pleases God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am what? Well pleased. It's my Son. I'm pleased. That's how you and I get in. Because of his son. What are the prayers? What are we doing in heaven? Praying? No. There's praying. You pray prayers down here in the light of everything going on. Trusting God. Prayer is the practice of your relationship to God. What are we doing? We're practicing the relationship to God. What do we know from our Wednesday? And think of that. John 14, 13, 14. If you ask anything in my name, what? I'll do it. You ask in my name. The only way you can get along with God is in the wonderful person, because of the wonderful person and work of Jesus Christ, who satisfies, saves, satisfies God's holy righteousness and saves us and makes it possible for us to come to God. What are you doing now in heaven, God? What are you going to do, Revelation 5? What is the church doing? What are the angels going to do? They're all looking and recognizing you, God, for who you are, the exalted one, the honored one. We bring to you prayers, incense before you. What are we doing? We're honoring you. We're honoring our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the little lamb slain, the humbled one who is exalted. He is the one that makes it possible for us to be here, to enjoy him, to honor him. He's the exalted one. Wow. And we do it. We do it. The church, praying, thanking God, exalting God, honoring God, if you would. Now having said that, in Ephesians 1 in closing, I hope you got a little bit, you know. There's a lot, awful lot. It's wonderful. It is. It's wonderful. Why? I got to tell you. Ephesians 1. God, what are we going to do? Here we are on earth. That's right. What are we going to do there? Well, we're going to offer incense, as it were. And the incense, the prayer. The prayer is the incense is from the altar. It's the incense represents the Lord Jesus Christ, his merit. He's the one that puts the fumes up there that's sweet smelling to you, God. The little lamb slain, that's the one, that man, my Savior and Lord, that man. Now, Ephesians 1, please, in verse 6, we are to be to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved. What are we supposed to be doing? We're to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. What are we doing? We're to be to the praise of his glory, to speak exaltingly, to honor, to elevate the one who is to be exalted, to recognize God as God, to allow God to be who he is, wonderfully who he is, his ways and thoughts higher than the heavens. And here we are to recognize what? More than the sand of the sea. And we exalt him, infinite, infinitude, great God, great, beyond us, beyond all that we ask or think. Verse 21, chapter 3, verse 20. To know now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory, where in the church, in the body of assembled believers, where they are, by how so? By Christ Jesus. How can it be? How are we going to glorify him? Because of the presence and work of Jesus Christ. And apart from that, you're not going to do anything. You can have religion, you can preach, you can sing, teach. Apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ, it won't sell. Won't go. But it was a great message. Won't go anywhere apart from him. Now, thus, chapter 5. And you'll notice, please, in verse, what are we going to do, God? Well, what are you doing with us? Verse 26, to the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, 5 and 26, with the washing of water by the word of God, that purpose, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish, and being there, we're able to honor him in a most wonderful way, to look to God. It's a wonderful thing, God is. God's a wonderful person. And therefore we want to have heavenly harmony, prayer, praise, to speak of the excellency, the exceeding excellency of a person, to elevate God, to allow God to be who he is, a great God. Our Father and God, we look to you and help us a little bit, deal with our heads and hearts, that we might honor you. Thank you very much. Deal with us. God, it's way up high stuff, wonderful stuff about you. And Spirit of God, you have to help us because there's no way we're going to get there. Our ways and our thoughts are earthly. So you have to help us by your word and by your saving grace to understand and give you the honor and the glory and the praise that belongs to you. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And perhaps we could sing this stanza 2, number 44.